More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, weary of worry. Are worry and anxiety constant companions? We'll help you quiet the noise and find your calm. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, weary of worry. Are worry and anxiety constant companions, or at least occasional companions? Regardless, we want to help you quiet the noise and find your calm. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825 and tell us whether you are experiencing worry and anxiety all the time or around a specific situation. We want to help you find the answers you're looking for. 877-573-7825.
We also want to help you if somebody in your life is going through that kind of anxiety and you're not sure how to help them, whether it's your child, your spouse, your adult parent, whoever that is. Let us be here to give you some really grace-filled new tools to use to help yourself or to help them. So do you struggle with worry or anxiety in general? Or are you facing a particular challenge, a relationship problem, a concern about someone you care about, financial pressures or health issues that you'd like to figure out how to stop worrying about? Maybe you've tried to give it to God, but it keeps landing back in your lap. Or maybe it's, as I said, someone you love that's stuck in a world of worry, and you just don't know how to help. No matter how your worry or anxiety is getting you down, let us help you quiet the noise and find the peace that God actually wants for you.
877-573-7825. Give us a call, whether it's you or someone you care about who's struggling with worry, anxiety, about you in general or about a specific situation. We're here to help. Again, the number, 877-573-7825.
Yeah, Greg, you talk about worry as this companion along the way. And I think that all of us want to kick that companion to the curb, right? Nobody likes to be filled with that sense of worry or anxiety or dread. But there's often a voice in the back of our heads, I wonder whose voice that is, who says, if you don't worry, if you don't feel anxious, if you don't try to think of every possible scenario, then you could miss something, then you might not be on top of your game, that you're a million excuses that this voice is trying to convince us of to hold on to that worry and anxiety. And the crazy thing about it is that when we hold on to that worry and anxiety, it robs us often of our ability to problem solve at all, because we get so caught up in the web of those thoughts that we're not really doing ourselves any good in terms of, well, I can do this, this, and this, and I can have these relationships, and I can do this thing, and I can get closer to God in this way. We just kind of freak out and our brain shuts down.
And I think that it might come as a surprise to listeners that everybody experiences anxiety from time to time. I think people, especially those who struggle with more frequent bouts of anxiety, tend to think that, well, I'm just an anxious person. This is my personality. This is just who I am. And certainly is your experience. It's how you're feeling. The good news is, with practice, anyone can move from a state of more anxiety to a state of less anxiety. Practicing peace is something that we need to, well, practice. It's something that we need to concentrate on. We all start from a place of anxiety or worry, and we have to get ourselves to a place where we can be more responsive, more thoughtful, more intentional. But let's talk about how to do that. 877-573-7825. Again, the number 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And, you know, maybe you're wondering, well, how can some theology possibly help me deal with anxiety or worry? Well, it turns out quite a lot. So St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a huge question. Basically, he said, you know, if we take everything God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation history, all of it, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for leading a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships? And the answer to that question became what we all now call the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body makes an important distinction between living in receptivity, which makes us open to the movement of the Holy Spirit, versus reactivity, which makes us resistant to grace. Worry tends to place us on the reactive side. Psychologists tell us that worry is a misplaced attempt to feel in control. Down deep, we believe that if we just fret about a bad thing hard enough, we can keep it from happening.
Worry makes our body feel like the bad thing is happening right now. And that fools us into thinking that we could do something about it, even when objectively there's nothing to do. Fact is, people would rather be anxious than powerless.
For sure.
But either way, we're left feeling like it's all up to us. And that's what living in reactivity feels like. It causes us to forget that God is in control and that He loves us. Instead of cooperating with His grace and responding to challenges effectively, worry causes us to start grabbing at anything to feel better, and it really just makes everything worse.
The alternative to worry isn't trying harder to relax. It's practicing receptivity. Instead of looking at the world for something to grab onto and make ourselves feel more in control, we need to train ourselves to turn inward and center our body, mind, and spirit on what God is saying to us right now. We need to stop asking, how do I get control of this? And start focusing on, how can I slow myself down enough to feel God's presence and center myself on His grace?
So the next time anxiety or worry hits, before you do or say anything else, I want you to try to focus on slowing your body down. Speak and act a little slower than you're feeling like doing. Take a couple of deep breaths and pray, Lord, I don't know what to do, but I know you're here. Help me remember how much you love me and that you're taking care of me. Show me how to respond to this in a way that makes you proud of me, helps me be my best self, and brings out the best of the people around me. Then, listen. You won't do it perfectly, but you don't have to. The more you practice, the more you find the resources to change what you can, accept what you can't, and start to feel the peace that comes from God's heart. So give us a call at 877-573-7825 on our show today titled Weary of Worry. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you those things that we are worried about and those experiences of anxiety. And we ask you to help us to remember that trying to get control over things that we have no control over is a fool's errand, that you are in control, and that you love us and are caring for us, and that everything works to the good for those who love you. Instead of constantly grabbing for things that make us feel better, help us to center ourselves in your grace so that we can stop reacting to all the stuff and noise of the world, and instead respond in grace-filled ways that enable you to be pleased with us, Help us to be our best selves and bring out the best in those around us, so that your grace can shine out through us in everything we do. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, weary of worry. Are worry and anxiety at least occasional companions that you would maybe like to kick to the curb? We are here to help you quiet the noise and reclaim your calm. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Chris, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio.
Chris, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you today?
Hi, I'm going to be 69 years old, and over 20 years ago, I trained for the Good Shepherd Program, Level 1, and I taught for 6 years, and then went to work for the next 20 years, a paying job. I've now been asked to come back to the school and help with the religion program. So I said yes, and then this summer there's a Level 2 Good Shepherd Program that I can attend. And I'm excited about doing it, and then at night I think about it, and I have terrible anxiety that I don't belong there, I'm too old for this, I probably can't keep up. You know, you make materials and make album pages, and, you know, I was never a great student to begin with, and I'm just having trouble discerning, just walk away from it, or go ahead, you can do this. And I pray about it, but I don't know if God's calling me to do it or not. I just don't get any indication whether I'm doing
well. How would you know? Like, when you say you don't get an indication, how would you know what God was asking you to do?
I guess a feeling. I'm looking for a feeling to say yes, get excited. You have nothing to worry about. You just go do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And let me ask you this, Chris. When it's not the dark of the night and all those thoughts come into your head that's sucking the joy out of everything for you, when you're feeling your best, most energetic self during the day, do you get kind of excited about the possibility, or are you doing this sort of out of an obligation because you were asked? You get excited. Okay. That's wonderful to know.
All right.
Excited.
Okay. All right. Well, that's great. All right. So let me... I want to address that. I'm going to tell you what to do. That's between you and God. But I'm going to point you in some directions and give you some principles that you can hold on to. And for you and for anybody else out there, having a peace about something is one way that God speaks to us, but it's not the only way. In fact, St. Ignatius of Loyola said that sometimes, you know, when we have a peace about something, that's God's way of sort of helping us choose between two things that are good. But very often, you know, God asks us to do something that's a little scary, that challenges our comfort zones. You know, think about Moses, right? He had a speech impediment, and God tells him to go talk to Pharaoh to get him to let his people go. And Moses is terrified. He doesn't want to do it. He's talking to God about it. And God finally says, like, who made your mouth? Don't worry about it. But he was scared. The Israelites going into, you know, the promised land, you know, see the giants that are there, and they don't want to go. God often asks us to do things that are terrifying, because he knows that we can do them, and that good would come from it. And then the enemy comes back and tries to attack us and convince us to not do it. And so very often we don't have a peace about the thing that God might be asking us to do. So we want to keep bringing it back to prayer. And I think two things. One, you know, again, St. Ignatius would say that we want to focus on times of consolation rather than desolation. So when you are in a time of consolation, when you're feeling rested, when you're awake, when you are well-fed, whenever, you know, you're up and about, that's a time when you are in a healthier place of consolation, and you feel good about it then. But when you get tired, maybe a little hungry, maybe a little worn out from the day, and your resources are lower, that would be a time of desolation. And that's when we're more open for the enemy's attack. And that's when you're experiencing these doubts and these fears. So my sense is that those fears are more desolations from the enemy rather than the Holy Spirit warning you off of something. All right. The other test, all right, is you want to look and ask yourself, which option leads to the greatest degree of meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue in my life? Meaningfulness refers to using my gifts and talents in a way that allows me to make a positive difference in my circumstances or in the life of those around me. Intimacy refers to me being able to make my relationship stronger or healthier, maybe broadening my social connections, just helping me feel more part of a community. And virtue has to do with me taking whatever life is throwing at me and using it as an opportunity to grow in my skills and my abilities and my strengths, right? So you lean into the qualities that lead to, or rather the decisions that lead to greater meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, because that's the path toward an abundant life. That's how we grow. That's how we find what God is calling us to be and what he's calling us to move toward. So I want you to pray about that. If you reflect and you say that, you know what, I do think that of the options available to me right now, the most meaningful, intimate, and virtuous choice would be to at least try this, to try this thing that I seem to be prompted toward, and recognize that when I'm in a state of consolation, when I'm, you know, rested and fed and awake and alert, and I have my resources available to me, then I feel excited about this. And it's a time of desolation when I'm tired and a little worn down and not feeling quite as connected to my resources. That's when the enemy starts to attack me and try to talk me out of it. If that's all the case, then I would suggest that God is probably saying to do it. As you pray through this, though, if you start feeling differently during the day, or if you believe that it's not really the most meaningful, intimate, or virtuous option available to you, then don't. But it's not always about waiting on the peace. It's really about recognizing what is the path that leads to that degree of greater meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, and then walking toward that, even sometimes when we are scared.
Yeah, I think that is so much sort of the, if you'll excuse the secular vernacular, the North Star of figuring something out, because I dare to say that a large percentage of the time, that peace beyond all understanding only comes at very decisive parts of our lives. When God knows we really need that moment of the Holy Spirit. The rest of the time, when we're trying to discern things, when we're trying to do what God's will is in our lives, the enemy doesn't want us to do that. So he's going to come in and just poke holes, little holes in all of our resolve and all of our courage, and try to get us to not pay attention to God so much. I mean, it happened to Jesus in the desert, right? He's in there 40 days and Satan's going, what about this? And why don't you do this? And he had to show us how to fight back and hold on to his relationship with God the Father and his relationship with what he was called to do. So it's not sinful for us to experience these anxieties. I mean, I'm not saying Jesus went through anxiety, but I'm saying Satan tried, right? Satan's going to try to do anything he can to take us away from what's meaningful, intimate, and purposeful in our lives. So use that as your indicator of where God wants you to go.
And Chris, if you want more information on this framework, I'd encourage you to check out my book, The Life God Wants You to Have, which is really all about discernment. Especially in when things aren't going according to plan, but really in any situation where we're not quite sure what God's asking us to do. But I think you can run with the suggestions we've made here on the program. I'd encourage you to download the podcast and listen to it again so that when you can pray through some of these ideas that we're proposing to you. But again, if you want more information on this and other decisions in the future, check out my book, The Life God Wants You to Have, available at CatholicCounselors.com. All right, we are taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825 on our show titled Weary of Worry. If worry and anxiety are at least occasional companions and you want to experience greater peace and confidence in all the decisions that you're making and your ability to handle what life throws at you, let's talk it out and find those ways to get the answers you're looking for and reclaim your calm. 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Jacob Flores Popchak. He is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He's got some insights to share about reclaiming your calm in the face of anxiety. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next. When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
He is only one of four popes honored as the great.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Leo I was pope at a time when Roman civilization was being overrun by barbarian armies. He stood as a light in the darkness and even saved the city of Rome from destruction by Attila and the Huns. Leo died in 461.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Are you struggling with a persistent emotional or relationship problem? Maybe those thoughts and feelings won't leave you alone, or your marriage has grown distant, or a wound from your past still aches. Too many of us tell us that we should be able to handle it alone, or that good Catholics shouldn't need help. That's not true. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, founder of CatholicCounselors.com. My team of pastoral counselors will help you find solutions rooted in solid psychology and our Catholic faith, so you don't have to choose between getting real help and staying true to what you believe. Visit CatholicCounselors.com and discover how we can help your faith life and relationships flourish.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, Weary of Worry. We're talking about worry and anxiety and how they tend to be at least occasional, if not constant, companions for many of us. We want to help you quiet that noise and find your calm. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, there we go, Jacob Forrest Popchak. He is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He's an expert on practical applications of the theology of the body, and he's also a published author and illustrator. Jacob, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you for having me, although I was worried that you weren't going to be able to get that introduction out.
Yeah, I was a little anxious about it myself, but you know, you were sharing with us over the break that you have some lessons to share that you learned about dealing with anxiety from breakfast cereal.
heck of an introduction, right? I mean, we're talking about this idea that anxiety and worry are these sort of bedfellows, and you guys have really been emphasizing so far in the program this notion that I really like, that worry is really on some level a bid for a feeling of control, right? Worry is an attempt, misguided and unconscious though it might be, to feel in control again, to have something to feel in control over by worrying about it. And this is why it goes so often with anxiety, right? Anxiety is the feeling, and worry is the thing I do, basically, the action. And worry, when it becomes, you know, when it's normal, when it's like, you know, every once in a while I worry about something, it's like, okay, you know, that happens. But when worry becomes clinical, when it becomes constant, when it becomes day in and day out, and if I'm not worried about this, I'm worried about the other thing, it is that bid for control. And I think the best way I've learned to understand this is, as you just described, or previewed, I guess, through breakfast cereal. Are you guys familiar with the old Trix Rabbit commercials? I think they still run them, where the
Trix Rabbit tricks are for kids.
Yeah, exactly. And he's always wearing a disguise, right? And he's dressed as the milkman, or he's dressed as a pirate, or whatever promotion they're running, right? And this is, you know, something of a game for the little kids watching this commercial, because they can see through the disguise, they see the big ears hidden underneath the pirate hat or the milkman uniform, and they say, silly rabbit, tricks are for kids. And I really like that analogy, or I really like that vision, I guess I should say, as an analogy for what my relationship with worry ought to be, right? Because I will have a worry come up, like, oh my gosh, how is this meeting going to go? Or, oh my gosh, you know, how is this confrontation I have to have with this friend going to go? Or, oh my gosh, what if someone's mad at me? Right? And what I really want to do is greet that feeling, not critically, not repressively, because again, anything that I resist persists. I don't want to start shoving my feelings down, because then they're just going to come back up later. But I want to greet that feeling just the way those kids do the Trix Rabbit, right? Hey, silly worry, you're really just a bid for control. my desire to feel in control again, disguised as this thing that I'm worried about today, right? A great example of this, I have a few clients who have this chronic worry that people are mad at them, right? Oh my gosh, my mom's mad at me. Oh my gosh, my coworker must be mad at me, right? That's a great example. This is, whenever they're feeling out of control, this is a group of people who learned very early on that they could sort of feel in control again by trying to make people around them happy, by trying to appease people. And so now as adults, whenever they feel out of control, their brain automatically volunteers, well, maybe this person is mad at you, just as a way for them to re-simulate that feeling of control again that they used to get as kids by appeasing everyone around them. So in sort of standing our ground and saying, wait a second, I'm not going to believe this thought that I'm really as worried about this thing as I feel like I am. I'm going to recognize that that's actually a particularly convincing costume, right? The excuse of the day, that my worry just happens to be wearing underneath that. It's actually just the desire for control. And if I didn't indulge it, if I instead turned to those more authentic, more life-affirming, more God-centered things that can give me a sense of control, like what's a loving action I can do, or what virtue do I want to build, or in what Holy Spirit-driven way am I called to assert myself right now, I'm going to feel so much more authentic control that I won't have any need for that worry anymore, and it will naturally begin to subside on its own.
So it's ultimately about asking God, how can I respond to this, rather than pretending I have control over things that I don't, and perpetuating that sense of worry. Great analogy. Jacob, thank you so much for being with us today. We appreciate your insight. And if folks would like to learn more about his work, come on over to CatholicCounselors.com. Check out all the work of our pastoral counselors, including Jacob Flores Popchak. With that, we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825 on our show titled Weary of Worry.
Where is prayer revealed in the Bible? The Catholic Catechism says it comes between the fall and the restoration of man, between God's sorrowful call to our first parents, "Where are you? What have you done?" and the coming of His only Son into the world. "Lo, I have come to do your will," says the Lord. Prayer is intertwined with human history. Beginning with Abraham, the Catechism asserts, prayer is first revealed in the Old Testament. God calls Abraham in old age to leave Haran and travel to the land of Canaan, and Abraham, in faith, leaves the land of his ancestors. Then Abraham extends generous hospitality during a remarkable encounter with God, which foreshadows the Annunciation of Christ, the Son of the Promise. Finally, Abraham offers his only son Isaac in sacrifice, and God, who will not spare his only son, spares Abraham's. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the Answer with Father John Ricardo.
We just did our parish mission a couple weeks ago now, and I suggested that in the course of the mission that we do something like a little mini spiritual assessment of our lives. I don't have to show this to anybody, but a great chance for us just to, with real honesty, just between us and Jesus, ask ourselves some questions. First question, given the fact that half of Catholics don't think God is even personal, would be to ask ourselves that. Do I think God is personal? And then to ask myself, do I think a relationship with Jesus is possible? Do I have a relationship with Jesus? And if so, what's it look like? And then perhaps a little bit more awkwardly or painfully, to ask Jesus, from his perspective, what's the friendship that we have with him look like? How would he describe our friendship with him? That might be a hard conversation to have.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Ever feel like you're just white-knuckling your way through a hard season, waiting for the storm to pass? Here's something that might change how you think about it. In my book, The Life God Wants You to Have, I reveal that God doesn't want us to just endure suffering. He wants to teach us how to respond to it in a way that leads to greater meaning, deeper relationships, and real personal growth. When we're going through hard times, resist the temptation to ask, "Why is this happening?" Instead, ask God, "How can I respond to this in a way that will make the enemy sorry he ever picked on me?" Let God show you how to leave behind the pain and lean into His plan. That one prayer can change everything. For more tips on finding God's purpose in hard times, check out The Life God Wants You to Have or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Weary of Worry. We're talking about those times when worry and anxiety are at least occasional companions. We want to help you quiet the noise and reclaim your calm. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Joey, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan on Ave Maria Radio.
Joey, welcome to the show. What can we do for you today?
Hi, I just wanted to say thank you, guys. I've been listening to you for a very long time, and it's my second time calling. And the last time I talked to you guys, there was a show on scrupulosity. And I have that a lot in my life. I've been trying to battle against it as much as I can. And I just, the worry comes a lot, mostly in the morning after, you know, after I sleep. Me and my wife have seven children. And my wife runs a small farm, so we can cultivate for the kids and teach them how to live off the land, kind of thing. And then I prayed for a long time for a good job, and then God provided me with one, and it was a good job, and it's a good job still, and it's just slowing down a lot right now. And I have, you know, I feel like, what did I do wrong? What am I doing wrong? I'm doing everything I usually do. It's not as successful. And I just worry about my kids a lot, because I know that I'm the leader of the family. I'm the head of the family. My wife is the heart of the family, and I have a lot
of. So Joey, slow down, just slow down just a little, because you're starting to spin out as you're talking about it on the air.
You're really feeling it. We can sense it.
So what would be, is there one thing in particular that we could kind of help walk you through to help you feel a little bit more in control of the. Because as you're describing this, that you're starting to spin out even now. So what can we do for you?
Okay, I guess just accepting what's happening in my life with my job, and not trying to worry about it too much. Worry about paying bills and taking care of my family, and that's about it.
So, Joey, you said that your job is slowing down a little bit, but what does that mean? Like, does it mean do you kind of go through phases with it, where it's up and down, or is this a steady declining pattern? I mean, what's the situation there?
I'm in sales, so it's always, I've been a salesman for over 17.
So it goes
years,
up. So it does go up and down.
Yeah, but it's just really going down hard right now, and I don't know. I just I don't know if it's just something that I feel. You know, I get attacked in the morning that God is reprimanding me for the wrongs that I do, and I can't, you know, enjoy time with my wife and my kids on the weekend and have a couple of drinks while we cook, because you shouldn't do that. You should. I don't know. It just doesn't.
All right. So let's look at this, because no, you're fine. You're doing fine. Let me give you some thoughts here to hold on to, and then maybe some resources to follow up with. Okay. So you mentioned kind of the mornings are the hardest. I want you to expect that, right? I want, because that's the pattern, right? And by part of addressing anxiety is recognizing patterns, and if you know that you're anxious in the morning, one of the simple ways that it doesn't cure it, but it can certainly help this, is if you say, you know what, I'm going to feel awful when I wake up, but if I can just push through that and get to, you know, 2 hours later, or, you know, whatever it is, I will feel better. So I'm going to discount all the thoughts that come crushing, you know, on the morning. I'm going to focus on the fact that this is how I feel in the morning. The thoughts that are here are not reasonable concern. Any concern that is reasonable will still exist 3 hours from now, and I can calm down and I can look at this and I can, you know, see it from a more rational perspective. But I'm going to focus just on getting ready and getting on with my day. I'm not going to challenge the thoughts or address the thoughts that I have in the morning. I'm going to recognize as part of my morning. and I'm going to just focus on praising God and focus on getting myself out the door, and anything that I have to deal with will still be there 2 hours from now, 3 hours from now, whatever, I'm awake and I'm alert. Secondly, all right, when you're talking about the concerns about your job, it's really important to look at, to ask yourself, are these thoughts helpful or hurtful? All right, it's perfectly reasonable to be concerned about decreasing sales if you're a salesperson, right? But if you're thinking about it in a way that is a consolation, as St. Ignatius would put it, you're thinking about that concern in a way that says, all right, you know, I notice that there are certain patterns, that this time of year historically has been a little bit more difficult, and I have to wait it out. Or, you know, there are certain people that I could talk to get some coaching. Or there are certain things that I have done in the past that have helped improve my sales whenever I've been in a bit of a slump. It enables you to sort of look at the bigger picture. And, you know, the Holy Spirit always lets you look at that bigger picture and look at patterns and identify resources and ways to respond to the situation. The enemy wants to take advantage of that and cause you to spin out and be less and less effective and not know what to do because I'm just looking at the truck that's coming down at me right now, and I keep trying to think, how can I lift that truck when it hits me, instead of realizing if I just walk 5 steps to the left or the right, I'm not going to get run over. Right, so it's a matter of kind of that mental discipline that teaches you to really to know what to focus on and what to say to yourself. This is going to get you started. All right, but you clearly have a long-term struggle with anxiety and with even some scrupulosity you mentioned, and it's too much for you to handle on your own. I'm going to encourage you to check out my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, which really talks about a lot of psychological, relational, and spiritual ways that you can fight back effectively against anxiety and scrupulosity. But I am going to ask you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to hook up with a good, faithful, professional Catholic counselor who can help give you grace-filled ways to respond to these challenges and really start to center yourself in God's grace, in His love, and His providence, and begin to think through these things. It's not a matter of not having concerns. Anxiety isn't really caused by the concerns that we have. It's caused by feeling disconnected from God, from the support, from our resources. The more disconnected we feel from those things, the more anxious we are. So that even when things are going well, we can still feel anxious if we feel disconnected from God and from our resources and from the people who love and support us. So I want you to lean into relationship there too, right? You know, focus on, like you said, you can't enjoy time with your wife and your kids on the weekends because you hear all these thoughts in your head about how you have to be worried about this or concerned about that. That's the enemy trying to pull you back from that intimacy I was talking about with the previous caller. You know, meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue are the qualities that the Holy Spirit's always prompting us toward, where powerlessness, isolation, and self-pity are the qualities that the enemy's always pushing us toward. So that's something else you can use to discern, you know, where are these voices coming from? Where are these thoughts coming from? And do I want to let, you know, the enemy be the lord of this part of my life? So I want you to focus on these things. Download the podcast so that you can play it again, especially during prayer time, and pray through some of these ideas. But I'd love for you to pick up a copy of Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. Just look at a chapter a day in your prayer time. But also reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to get the support you need to really leave this behind. We can give you the skills that you need to leave this behind and start living a more confident and peace-filled life for yourself and for the sake of your family. Thank you so much for the call, Joey. I hope that these suggestions will really get you down the right path. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Today's show titled Weary of Worry, as we talk about how to win the battle against fear, worry, and anxiety. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7.
For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and self-control. I think this is something that those of us who suffer with any kind of worry or anxiety don't feel like we relate to necessarily, because we think of cowardice as something that, you know, is experienced in war or in times of great travail. But as you were very much just saying with Joey, it's one of the components that comes with that attack from the enemy that wants to make us feel self-pitying or in a
powerless
stuck. Powerless and self-condemning in an unhealthy unholy way, where it's we're picking on ourselves, we're tearing ourselves apart. It makes us feel unequal to our situation or even life. And that is that sense, it's the one word of cowardice. And that's not there to be condemning. That's to say the Holy Spirit has given us this power, this love, this self-control, so that we can lean into knowing that it's God that provides all of that. And we don't have to make it up and do it for ourselves. We have to lean into Him.
Well, you know, it going back to a show we did a few weeks ago on confidence, right? You know, this having this confidence is not having confidence so much in ourselves. It's having confidence in, okay, if first of all, I discern, did God ask me to do this? And if He did ask me to do it, then He believes in me. He knows I can do it, and He will provide what I need to do to succeed. It's not a matter of making it happen myself. You know, it's a matter of really leaning on God to know how to do whatever He's asking me to do. And so 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and self-control. We'll be talking more about how you can overcome anxiety and worry today on More to Life when we come.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live streamed or broadcast mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA. Or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Weary of Worry, as we talk about worry and anxiety and how to win the battle against them. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Grace, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio.
Hi, Grace. Welcome to the show. What can we do for you today?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I am 72 years old, and I'm always struggling with fear, with anxiety, afraid that something's going to happen. I'm always afraid that some accident, or God forbid it, I pray to God that He will take me first. I'm afraid that my kids die before me. I'm afraid that I'm always anxious.
Grace, can I ask you, has this always been the case, or is this more so now?
No, it got worse, especially with my age. Now that I am growing, I'm afraid to die, even though I know when I die, it's nice because I meet my Lord. But it scares me. I pray to God to protect us. I find myself, I am constantly pray to God to protect us. It's like...
Can I ask you, when you pray, can you tell me a little bit about how you pray about all these things?
Just talking to God. Just talking to God.
Right, but how do you talk to God? Like, what do you say to him about when you're praying about these things?
Please protect my kids, protect us from danger, protect us from evil, protect us in our driving. And
okay.
My grandson have a bike. You know, protect okay. us from any harm.
All right. So here's. I mean, and those are all fine prayers, Grace. We all certainly want the Lord to protect us from things. But here's the problem, right? That prayer is missing the fact that. Well, two things, actually, two facts. One, the world is filled with problems. And secondly, God has put us here to address those problems in many ways, to be part of, you know, when we talk about the church on the earth, we talk about the church militant. We are in a battle against evil. We are in a battle against all the stuff in the world. And so it's a matter of recognizing that it's not just about protecting us. It's about knowing that God is giving us the grace to respond to the things that happen in life. And so I want your prayers. Lord, protect us. If it's your will, protect us. But more importantly, give us the grace to respond well to all the things in life so that I can respond to everything that I face and my kids can respond to everything that they face and my grandkids can respond to everything that they face in ways that please you, that help us to be our best in the face of the things that we experience, and that enable us to bring out the best in those around us. Because, Grace, the entire focus of your prayer is, I'm terrified and there's nothing I can do. Please protect me. What I'm suggesting to you is that your prayer really needs to be, yes, Lord, protect me, but also help me to see the strengths, the abilities, the resources you've given me, and the people that I love to respond well and gracefully and effectively to all the things in life. Show me the power that you have built into me. Show me the grace that you are giving me so that I know that I have to I can be effective and I can respond well in meaningful and intimate and virtuous ways to all the challenges that life brings. So it's not just a passive, I'm nothing, please protect me from the big scary world. It's, you have created me to be a beautiful, beloved, powerful woman of God. Show me how to respond to everything that I face.
And one of the best ways you can get in contact with that when you pray is to go through the history of your life in your mind, or write it down, of all the things that you were afraid were going to happen so far and that God gave you the grace to get through. All the times you were stronger than you thought you would ever be in a situation where God showed up with his grace and his presence and you knew it and you felt it. Write it all down and then be able to go back and look at that at the times when the anxiety lifts up a little bit. The other great thing to do is every morning in your prayer time, write all of this stuff down that you're concerned about, and then at the end say, but Lord, help me trust you, help me know what my strengths are, and help me leave this on the page. So get a notebook just for this, and then you can close it and say, now God's knows what is on my heart, and I can move with him and his grace and his power for throughout the rest of the day.
The other thing is that built into the way you're praying about this is something called catastrophizing. It's the constant, what if? What if this happens? What if that happens? What if the other thing happens? I'd like you to change that to even if. I mean, because it's terrifying to think of those things, but if you're going to think about them, then at least think about them in a healthy way. So it's, you know, even if this accident happened, how would I respond? Even if this challenge occurred, what would I do? Even if this thing went down, how would I respond to it? And how would we get to our place where we could be okay? Focus on the power that you have, the graces that you've got, the skills, the talents, the abilities, the resources that God's given you, because that is the key to really addressing a lot of this. Marianne, thank you so much for your question. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to, Grace, thank you so much for the question. If there's more we can do to support you in this, don't hesitate to reach out to us again. But I want you to download the podcast of the show. Really listen to this and reflect on how I'm asking you to pray about this so that, yes, God protects you, but even more importantly, that he show you the strength that he's given you as his beloved daughter of God. With that, let's go to Marianne, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio. Marianne, welcome. What can we do for you?
Hi, I'm calling from the Columbus, Ohio area. Mm-hmm. Are you hearing me okay? I'm going to have to take it off.
Yes, we're good. Go ahead.
What's up?
Okay. I suffer greatly from anxiety. I will either be triggered by, like, current events, things that are going on, you know, mm-hmm. on social media or, you know, the news, things like that. Mm-hmm. And also, it's not specific. Also, I will just wake up in the middle of the night panicked, feeling like, you know, I'm alone. I'm not mm-hmm. going to live. If I lay down, I feel like I can't breathe. It's just such a state of suffering. I go to counseling.
And what have you tried to do to address some of these symptoms?
Well, I've spoken with all of our priests at my parish, which there are three of them. Well, there's mm-hmm. the priest and the two assistant priests. I'm not really sure their titles, but they all do masses. I've talked mm-hmm. to all of them. I have been to numerous counselors. My nephew, who lives with me, has been a great inspiration. He's very religious. He doesn't go to church or anything.
Talk to me about the counseling for a second. What kinds of tools have you gotten from your counselors, and are you using them now?
He wants me to try to figure out what's triggering the attacks. He wants me to write them down and journal. He wants me to do, like, meditation, breathing exercises, which those are all good things. But when I'm having the attack, they don't come into my mind to do. I'm just panicking. Oh my gosh, I've got to get out of here.
How often do you do them outside of the attacks?
I'm sorry, I don't understand the question.
How often do you do those exercises when you're not having a panic attack?
Oh, those exercises? I guess not enough. I think I need maybe to work on that quite a bit more.
Yeah,
I've gotten used to...
Go ahead. You seem to have gotten used to what?
I just seem to have gotten used to keeping myself so busy that when mm-hmm. I have them, I will immediately get in my car and I try to run from them.
And that's part of the problem. I got to jump in because there's only 2.5 minutes before we have to cut you loose. But so here's the thing. People, you're right, all right? So you keep yourself busy so you don't feel. And then you stop being busy and you're like a shark. You know, if you stop moving, you die. It's as soon as you stop moving, you're struck with all the thoughts that you didn't give yourself time to think about all day. So you're protecting yourself in a way that's making you sicker, right? And so the exercises that your counselor is giving you, which are challenging you to stop being busy all the time, that scares you because you're afraid if I stop moving, then I'm going to feel the panic. But if you don't stop moving long enough to process your feelings when you're awake and you're not actually having a panic attack and doing the exercise, then you're stuck trying to do the exercises in the middle of the panic. And you're never going to be able to do that. That's like saying, okay, I have this injury and it tends to hurt on rainy days, so I need to exercise on the sunny days so that I can build up my strength and pain tolerance for those rainier days. But then I don't do that, so I'm just going to try to lift all the weights on the rainy days. But I can't because I'm too sore. So that becomes the trap that you're stuck in, right? So you're leaning so hard on your self-taught coping mechanism of staying busy all the time that you don't give yourself any space to think or to reflect or process. So then it all comes raging at you the second you finally stop. And that's what the nighttime panics are all about. So since you're already in counseling, I really want to encourage you to double down on the exercises that your counselor is giving to you. Do them when you are not in the middle of the panic. Do them. Carve out time throughout the day to do these things so that you can build up the mental muscle that you need to help you ultimately handle those panic attacks at night. And ideally, take them down, because a lot of those exercises of the journaling, that's to help you process those thoughts that attack you in the middle of the night that you've not given yourself time to think about during the day because you're trying to stay so busy that you don't have to think about things. Do you see that you're setting yourself up for these attacks? So lean into the work that you're doing with your counselor. Do the exercises he's giving you throughout the day so that you can build up the mental muscle you need to both decrease the anxiety and fight but more effectively against it. We talk more about these kinds of exercises in my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, which I'd encourage you to pick up and go through with your counselor. But please do use these exercises throughout the day. Thank you so much for the call, Marianne. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here or CatholicCounselors.com. And that's all the time we've got for today's program. Thank you for tuning in. If you are looking for ways to conquer your fight with fear, worry, and anxiety, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll help you find grace-filled ways to transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. Again, CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Don't ever miss another episode of More to Life. Subscribe to the podcast at AveMariaRadio.net.